Then, all right, there we go. You know what that means? I can't wander. I gotta stay right here. All right, fair enough. The light's on. Perfect. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise this beautiful morning. Dear God, it's shining and reflecting your glory and majesty as we see the sun and as we are reminded of spring and as summer approaches. It is a sign also, dear Father, of the steps and stages of our graduates as they are moving from one stage to another in their lives. And Father, you have that whole new stage laid out for them. And they need not be worried or discouraged, because whatever challenges they might face, you'll be there. In fact, you are already there, and you have promised to equip them and give them everything they need to succeed. Father, we thank you for our church family, that this has become a place, a community where people can grow in their faith and just as a person with love all around them, gracious Father, supporting each other all along the way, from the youngest to the oldest. Dear Father, we are here as your children and as a family to encourage and to bless each other in each stage of our walk. We ask now, dear Father, as we look into your word, that you will be glorified and that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you would, we're going to take our Bibles. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to read the first 10 verses. I'm going to do so from the New Living Translation. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise child brings joy to a father. A foolish child brings grief to a mother. Tainted wealth has no lasting value, but bright living can save your life. Right living can save your life. The Lord will not let the godly go hungry, but he refuses to satisfy the craving of the wicked. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. A wise youth harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. The godly are showered with blessings. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. We have happy memories of the godly, but the name of a wicked person rots away. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. People who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace. So there are a number of instructions that we find here in this text. I'm just going to highlight three of them. Here Solomon gives us three things to avoid. He asks us to avoid bringing pain to our parents, to avoid spreading meanness and hate, to avoid the seduction of laziness. So let's unpack these. And we're going to begin with the first. So 2 weeks ago, Becca Melzer, who organized and led the music for Central Mountain Baccalaureate, and she asked me to say a few words, and our church was well represented. Becca, her husband Andrew, Loretta Park, they led the music. Madison Packer spoke, and very effectively, as you saw this morning. It was one of the most moving baccalaureates that I've attended. In fact, there was a point in the service where Becca asked the college graduates to come forward, and there were roses at the front at a table. Each student was to take his or her rose back to his or her parent or grandparent or a mentor, give it to that person and spend a few minutes telling that person how much he or she appreciated that person in his or her life and bringing them to that point in their academic career. Now, I didn't know this was going to happen, but it went right along with the first point of my message. I told the graduates that I had a connection there at Central Mountain. All my children graduated from there. My daughter Madison, my youngest, she graduated. In fact, she had turned 21 just the week before. And I explained to them that I purchased for her a birthday card for a 2-year-old. And I'll explain why in a moment. When you open up the card, on the left side of the card, I wrote these words from Proverbs. The Lord formed me from the beginning before he created anything else. I was appointed in ages past at the very first before the earth began. See, God He had created Madison. He already knew, even before she was biologically born, he knew her DNA, the color of her hair, her personality. And then I wrote on the card for Madison, I said, before you were conceived, before the earth or the universe were created, you already existed in the mind of God. Then I wrote these words. God's gift to you was your life. How you live that life is your gift to God. On the other side of the card, I wrote these words. While you have turned into a mature, beautiful adult, to me, I will always remember you as a little girl in my heart. And this is where I tied it all together. I said to the graduates, I said, listen, there are people here in the audience with you who helped you reach this benchmark in your life. Parents, grandparents, mentors. And no matter where life takes you, you will always be their little guy. You will always be their little gal in their hearts. Embrace that. Cherish that. Because from this point forward, the people you meet on your journey, they will never look at you that way. But your parents, your grandparents, in their hearts, they will always remember you in your innocence and vulnerability as a little child. Remain loyal to those relationships. Life is hard. You will need those people in your corner. Solomon said, a wise child brings joy to a father. A foolish child brings grief to a mother. And then I told those graduates, I said, listen, bring joy to your parents. If you want to break their hearts as you move forward, get consumed with your devices and your social life, that you forget to neglect the people who love you the most. Bless your parents. Bless your grandparents. Bless your mentors. Stay connected to them. Check in on them often. Spend time with them. They won't be there forever. And these are the people who will love you the most in your life. Solomon warns us that we are to avoid bringing pain to our parents. But secondly, he also warns us to avoid spreading meanness and hate. See, like many of you, I like watching sports. Right now, I am consumed in the NBA. My team, they've not been this good in a long, long time. I'm watching the Utah Jazz, as many of our youth group boys know. And so I'm watching the playoffs, and I'm witnessing something I have not seen before. There is a real malice of disrespect and nastiness that's growing among fans. And I understand there's always been what they call trash talking, where players from other sides, they try to get in the head of the other team, and fans do that as well, and you boo and you cheer for your team or the other side. That's all part of the game. This is something different. What I'm talking about right here is people, they're throwing things. They're throwing food. They're throwing buckets of popcorn. They're throwing bottled water. They're spitting on players. And someone's going to get hurt. If not in the initial act, when someone retaliates. And what baffles me is this, that fans have come to think that this is acceptable behavior. They surely can't think they're going to get away with it. There's cameras everywhere. They're going to chase you down. But people are just freely behaving in this way. And what's happening in sports, I'm not picking on sports because it's simply a reflection of what's taking place across the board in our culture. At every level, we have become more toxic and coarse. And you see it especially in social media. Just look at how people just lash out at each other there. We have forgotten how to treat each other. Oh, you're a Lakers fan. Oh, you're a Sixers fan. Well, you're a Democrat. Well, you're a Republican. You watch Newsmax and Fox News. That means you're a racist. Well, you watch MSNBC and CNN. That means you're anti-American. And on we go. Because you're on the other side, I can be a jerk to you. It's a sad commentary, but that's where we have arrived in our country. In Proverbs 10, Solomon says that people of integrity, they don't do that. Righteous people do not use hostile gestures or intentions or words. No, the Apostle Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is how the wise person, the godly person, the Christian person who takes God at his word, that's how they are to behave. And finally, Solomon tells us that we are to avoid the seduction of laziness. So, this mic's not working, but last time I checked, mic 6 was. Here's mic 6. I'm going to have to move around here in just a minute. My friends, it's time to go back to work. Infections from the virus are down 90% from where they were a year ago last March. The pandemic is easing. Restrictions are being lifted. We're coming out of a pandemic. However, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics released our nation's jobs report in April. It was disappointing, as employment numbers were way below the expectations of Wall Street and economists. In fact, unemployment rose from the previous month. Time out. We're exiting the pandemic, not going into one. Why are the jobs numbers dropping? All kinds of workers, or all kinds of companies, are trying to hire workers. There are help wanted signs everywhere. The problem, I think we got used to not working. See, water follows the path of least resistance. And sometimes we do it as humans, don't we? So, I can get paid to go to work, or I can get paid and stay home. And sometimes we're tempted to do the latter. Fine. But just understand this. For the person who follows God's word, that's not what the Bible teaches. Here's what the Bible says. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. That's a tough verse. If you don't work, you don't eat. I didn't say that. Paul said that. Proverbs says, lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. A wise youth harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. Some of us may not like these words, but these are God's words. And he's telling us that if we can, we should work. I do believe that throughout our community and across our nation, these are words that the American people would do well to heed. It's time to go back to work. Work is a good thing. It's fallen on hard times, but it's a good thing. Those great minds, those strong bodies, those were all given to us by God so that we could be productive and serve each other. And when we serve each other, we serve him. We were made for work. In fact, this applies to Christians spiritually in our ministries for Jesus. You know, we've had lots of new visitors the last 6 months, and we're reviewing and we're trying to go through our ministry directories to figure out what ministries we're offering. And the truth is, as we reflect, we're discovering that there are ministries that we did before the pandemic that we're not doing now. And I believe that the reason is, I think, too, for the people of God, sometimes we get stuck in a rut and we forget that, oh, God gave me all these spiritual gifts so that I can work for the promotion of Jesus' name, for the glory of his name, for the blessing of his people, and to be a light and to be his hands and his feet to our community. We were created to work. We are workers for God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? You were created for good works. That's what the good book says. You were created to work. It's time to get up and go to work. Go to work for Jesus.
go to work promoting him, lifting up his name, reaching out to our communities, doing what we can to bless the body of Christ. It's time to go to work. That's why we were created. Jesus served. We're called to serve. We're called to serve. What's the next slide? I don't even know what's next. So, summary. In Proverbs, Paul warns us, or Solomon warns us. He says, we are to avoid bringing pain to our parents. We are to avoid spreading meanness and hate. We are to avoid the seduction of laziness. Here's the truth of the matter. Jesus, he was a worker. He was a worker. Hey, there are four gospels in the Bible. Mark is the shortest. There's 16 chapters there. It's the gospel of action. If you get time today, just pick it up. Read for 10 minutes. Read a couple of chapters. Jesus is I get exhausted looking at his schedule. He's preaching the kingdom, and then he's counseling somebody, and then he's feeding thousands, and then he's doing some more teaching. He's just constantly on the go, raising the dead, on and on and on. Jesus was a worker, was not lazy. Even on his last day, he's working. He's working hard to exhaustion. He's carrying a cross through Jerusalem. Your cross, my cross, that wasn't even his. That cross weighed between 100 and 300 pounds, depending on whether he was carrying the whole cross or just the crossbar. We're not exactly sure. But it was heavy. You know how I know? Because the text tells us that Simon from Cyrene had to come and help him carry that cross. On his last day, he's exhausting himself, working to bring salvation and forgiveness of sin to you and me. He was a worker. And then he said this. If you want to follow me, you got to become a worker. He said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Taking up the cross is work. You're going to expend energy. And some days it'll be challenging and difficult. But guess what? We can do it with joy. Because God's Spirit is with us. And we recognize that Jesus, my goodness, his work brought us salvation. Forgiveness of sin made us members of his family. That compels us. That inspires us to work for him with joy. With joy, not begrudging, with joy. Jesus was a worker. Calls us to be workers, to serve in his name, to promote Christ, to reach out to our community, to share the gospel, to help someone who's in need, to lift them up. When we work, we follow in the footsteps of our Savior. And now he's recruiting kingdom workers. And he wants to know if you'll link arms and work with him. If you'll embrace his salvation. If you'll accept forgiveness of sin. If you'll become part of his church family. If you'll do that and be his hands and his feet. When there's needs around you, people who are hurting, to embrace them and to listen to them, to give them a shoulder to cry on. Maybe give them some financial support to help ease their financial burden. Whatever it is, God's going to bring all kinds of people in your path. When you work for the Lord, he loves you. Oh, my goodness, God loves you. But guess what? He also loves that neighbor that lives next door, the lady who lives down the street. The people live around the world as we continue to support missionaries in other locations. God loves all those people, and he wants you to work for him. He wants them to experience the blessing of Jesus as you are experiencing it. And that's his invitation. Will you receive him, his grace, his salvation, and become a kingdom worker for Jesus? If you'd like to receive Christ as Lord of your life, Savior of your soul, will you come as we sing our hymn of invitation and dedication? I'll be here to greet you. Please stand as we sing.